Sunday Meditation, January 21st, 1996. Our question this week concerns the affiliation between the Yahweh entities that supposedly brought the Mars population to Earth 75,000 years ago, after that population had made their planet unlivable due to warfare, and became sort of like a shepherd, a guide, or a god. And this Confederation entity seemed to open the door for negative balancing by another entity who claimed to be the Yahweh that had led them here and had said they were his chosen people and made a covenant with them that if they would obey his laws, that they would prosper and that their enemies would be laid low and so forth. And we're wondering if this covenant made with the Jewish race, perhaps also with the Arabs, and which seemed to be of a many lawed and very harsh, fiery sort of nature, if this covenant then became the focus for the incarnation of Jesus, who offered a new covenant and perhaps offered an opportunity for a path to the Creator that was more inclusive of love and compassion and less of the negative nature of the Old Testament. We're wondering if Quo could give us some comments concerning the Old Covenant of the Yahweh God with his chosen people and the New Covenant represented by Jesus and his sacrifice of giving his life for the sins of all, and what Quo would have to say concerning that subject.
We are those of Akul. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We thank you for calling us to your circle for this working. And we bless and greet each who sits within your circle. There is a heavenly light that shines from groups such as yours, not only because of the people that are there in person, but also because of those who link up with these meditations. Each center which gathers for the purpose of seeking the truth and finding light and love is a kind of lamp that turns the darkness into dawn. This is a service that you perform for your people as well as for yourselves. And certainly this is a service for us, for it allows us to use instruments such as this one in order to communicate with you concerning principles that we hold dear and opinions which we have to share. As always, we ask that you take nothing from this meeting that is not truly your own, recognized, remembered, and fitting with those things which you seek at this time. We are aware of the many questions that those at this meeting do have. And as you have requested information concerning that entity which you call Yahweh, we shall attempt to speak along these lines to your satisfaction. When we finish that which we have to say, of course, there shall be time for more detailed follow-up questions. Your question concerns history, the history of your people. And yet this history is also a mythology. And the one function is as important as the other. Because of these historical and mythological coincidences of meaning and value, it takes a careful and subtle intelligence to find one's true and clarified way through the many bylanes of cultural detail and distortion. We say this because your query concerns that which your peoples see as a god or the god within another mythological system, that being the extraterrestrial model. This entity is a guardian. The godlike qualities of each entity are precisely those of the entity Yahweh. The qualities of Creator within all beings is the same. When the intelligence of consciousness attempts to grasp that which lies beyond the rational, physical, Euclidean model of space-time, facts become ladders and thoughts become structures. Structures of logic upon which the entities which dwell in the darkness of flesh attempt to use those imprecise items you call words to express the relationship between the self and the Creator. All of those within the confederation of planets in the service of the infinite Creator are those who are people of this mythology and people of this history. Yet time and space are not as they are in space-time. When one attempts to delve beneath the surface of the story of the race of humanity upon Earth. Thusly, while we are real, we are also metaphysical as opposed to physical. Just as your thoughts have no flesh, yet are as they are, so are we within your space-time continuum. That which the entity Jehovah or Yahweh did among your peoples was within history, and yet also of the quality of the thought that has no place within history. We say this in order to deflect the intellectual desire of the seeker of truth from aiming directly into this matter as though it were logical or linear. That which has to do with the relationship of consciousness in the personal sense, with consciousness in the creative sense, or the sense of being the creator, will always fly before any gust of wind that attempts to chase it. And the more words that are thrown at it, the faster it will flee. So at the very beginning of anything that we say at this time, we ask that you understand that we are using analogy and we are mixing mythology and historicity because that is the way the creation is melded within your delusion. The entity Yahweh, as the one known as Jim, surmised within his question, was indeed one who had the plan of enabling those who wished to transfer to your planet with that move. The concept seemed to them fairly direct, that is, to improve the intelligence and the curiosity and the physical and emotional strength of the type of physical vehicle which had been the native physical vehicle for those within the Martian sphere. And as was surmised, this entity discovered to its discomfiture that it had caused great distortion, worse distortion, shall we say, than the distortions would have been without the aid. This kind of situation occurs at all levels of consciousness. The mistake is made. There it is. One cannot go back. One simply learns and moves forward. However, this people indeed did crave and wish for a continuing source of, shall we say, God-given help. its expectations were very high, because there had been interaction betwixt a godlike being and humans. The remarkable nature of this history speaks for itself. The entity which succeeded the first Yahweh, calling itself by the same name and using the same frequency of light to express, simply continued to offer aid and comfort when it wished, but with the ever increasing distortion towards belligerency and aggressiveness that is the hallmark of a negatively oriented being or culture. The echoes of this action, which was transmitted long ago, redounds even now and shall continue to echo and re-echo. As long as there are those within third density upon this sphere who wish to claim power and who seek a god of power, now let us look at the promise first made and the promise that took its place. The hunger which many among your peoples have had revolves around knowing what is right. It is instinctive within your physical vehicle to watch out for the safety and comfort of the body, the mind, and the spirit. The continual proclamations and greatly detailed taboos, prohibitions, and schedules of sacrifice that characterize the relationship of your so-called Old Testament God constituted an order, a structure, a logic within which entities felt comfortable living. Through this structure, they knew what was right. The tendency then was to enunciate finer and finer points of law until all possible actions with ethical consequences or consequences of safety and health were covered and the entities within this system were safe. We ask you to look about you within your present world scene and see the entities about you looking for a way to be safe. Look upon your leaders who wish to prohibit freedom in order to guarantee safety. The spirit of Yahweh is strong and it survives. It is part of that mixture of light and dark, which makes up all that is. In other words, we are saying that entities continue to have a choice between the many laws of moral rectitude in such a logic as Yahweh's . They can also choose a logic and a path which is not rational or linear, which does not hold, which does not insist, and which is not aggressive. This spirit was before the one known as Jesus the Christ. It exists, as does Yahweh, within each entity. For each of you is the universe. You are looking out at a world that is actually interior. Such is the illusion created by flesh. In the testament of the one known as Jesus, the place of the law is simply turned upon its head, as the one known as Jesus is quoted as saying, "Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man." The direction to love the one infinite creator and to love each other self as the self is not a detailed, closed, or encapsulated direction. It is specifically open-ended. And the one known as Jesus goes to some pains in the body of teaching that survives to impress upon those whom he taught that there is never an end to love. There is never the need to return to the old prescriptions and taboos. We correct this instrument. These are not either or situations, but rather either or processes. And as each student works upon its personal polarity, perhaps it will aid the student to ponder and remember these two kinds of promises, these two kinds of ways of thinking. And perhaps this can be instructive in showing the way for balance when that way seems unclear. We wish to tell you that your model of the universe is very, very limited. The attempt to nail down a history which is replete with metaphysical subject matter shall always be unending and full of lacunae, holes, gaps, and spaces where there is no logic, there are no words, there is no road, there is no structure. Not that there is not structure, just that there is beyond all structure love. The illusion is so very, very deep. For you are a dream, yet when you leave the flesh and enter a larger life, you will still be a dream. For we also are but illusions, and ahead we see illusion. Yet always that siren call, which beckons you and beckons us, calls us all forward. And yet, are we forward going? We do not think so. We feel, at this point, the comfortable awareness that we do not know what is occurring. We only know how to be faithful to love. When it is accepted within the heart that nothing can be known, and that a sea of confusion shall always surround love, then the mind and the heart are better armed to take up the walk of the pilgrim who seeks truth, peace, and love. That call has come to many who wander within this world of yours at this time, listening and hoping for a sound, a tone, a letter from home, waiting, hardly hoping sometimes, but still hanging on to the faith that that which is within, that which is so hungrily sought, does exist. And we say to you, yes, love exists. Love is before, after, and around all that is. You do not seek an ephemeris. You seek that which is, and that which exists perfectly. We encourage all lines of thinking which fascinate your minds. And we hope that we can, within your meditative periods, be with you as strengtheners of your own vibration. But we do continue to remark that the ways of seeking, which are scholarly and of the mind, yield a limited harvest. This is acceptable to us. We can look at what is possible within your world and see that it will be helpful and useful. And we encourage those who are drawn to this material, to this subject, to continue that process of thinking, meditating, and reflecting. For these are helpful things, not simply to the self, but in terms of service to others as well. Let those truths that you seek remain small enough for you to remember that beyond all that can be understood or discussed is the truth. And that is a vibration which has created all that is, and into which we hunger and yearn to move again. That should keep your intelligence and your heart on a sturdy road that has good perspective. We would at this time transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. We do thank this instrument and leave it in love and in light. We are those known to you as Quill.
I am Quill, and we greet each again in love and in light through this instrument. It is our privilege at this time to offer ourselves in the attempt to speak to any further queries which those present may have for us. May we ask if there is a query with which we may begin?
Quill, I understand you to say that there were two Yahwehs. There was the original Yahweh that brought the entities from Mars to Earth, and then a second entity using his vibration.
I am Quill, and am aware of your query, my brother. And this is correct, with the second entity being of a negative orientation and utilizing the name of the first as a means of gaining control of the entities to whom the first Yahweh had spoken. Is there a further query, my brother?
Yes. The second law, the second Yahweh then gave the laws, called the laws of Moses, to the people. He was responsible for this, as well as the curses that attended them.
I am Qua, and this is correct, my brother. Is there a further query?
Yes. Ra says that he gave the first Yahweh gave the law of one in a very simple form to Moses. Was this the what he was talking about? Was this the saying, "I am that I am," or the Ten Commandments, or something else? What was it exactly that he was talking about?
I am Qua, and am aware of your query, my brother. The entity, Yahweh, from the confederation of planets in service to the infinite creator, was one who spoke with those entities from the Mars influence in a manner that reflected the unity of all creation and the attempt to be of service to others through this speaking and intermingling, shall we say. The attempt was formed or fashioned in a way or in a philosophy, shall we say, that attempted to weave all experience, desires, and expenditures of energy as portions of one great tapestry of energy, love, and unity. All communications were based upon this simple recognition of the unified nature of all creation. It was, shall we say, the foundation upon which the interrelationship was built. Is there a further query, my brother?
The Ten Commandments were then given by the second negative Yahweh. Is that correct?
I am Qua, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. This is basically correct, for these commandments were seen as the pillars upon which would rest the many laws that would protect and guide the chosen people in a manner that was in accordance with the desires of the Orion-based Yahweh. These commandments included previous concepts given by the first Yahweh contact, and then there was added unto those concepts a turning or twisting toward the negative orientation, so that the commandments were, shall we say, then restrictions upon entities more than inspiration to affirmative or positive action and imaging of concepts. Is there a further query, my brother?
In the Old Testament, we have this record of the voice of Yahweh speaking, and it's crystal clear. It's a strong personality. Can we take this strong voice of Yahweh as being the recreation of later editors and writers, or is this a faithful reproduction of the negative Yahweh that is the negative Yahweh?
I am quote and am aware of your query, my brother. We find in most instances there is, as you have surmised, a faithful reproduction of words spoken and recorded carefully. However, as in all recording by human hand, there is the possibility of coloration or distortion, which has occurred in some instances. Is there a further query, my brother?
Well, was the negative Yahweh, the second Yahweh, responsible for the miracles on the journey out of Egypt, such as the parting of the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, and the water from the rock? Or did these not happen at all?
I am quote and am aware of your query, my brother. We find here that there is a mixture of influence, and there is a difficulty in interpretation, although much is carefully recorded and in a reasonably accurate manner. We would take this opportunity to remind each entity present that though the details of such an interaction are quite interesting upon many levels, it is well to remember that the process of the evolution of the entities involved is one which is at its heart in accordance with the free will choices of the peoples of this time, who, though laboring under dual influences, did have enough previous understanding of the heart of the evolutionary process being love and compassion, that this positively oriented source of information was, for the most part, ignored by the majority of these entities, who were evolving according to the energies set in motion. I have and am again with this instrument. As we mentioned previously, these entities had access to information of a positive nature, but chose through their own free will to move with those energies which had originated with their experience upon the red planet, known to you as Mars. And there was indeed much interaction and influence offered to these entities by both positively and negatively oriented entities who were interested in the evolution of these entities. Is there a final query at this time?
I would ask about another thing that Ralph said. Ralph said that he gave some visionary information to some philosophers of ancient Greece about 600 BC. Can you tell me what this information pertained to and how it showed up in Greek philosophy?
I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. And we would answer by suggesting that the law of one was the primary information given in the distortion of the ways of love and understanding, so that there were those philosophers within the Greek culture and experience which made this assumption the foundation of their philosophy and their view of the nature of creation, its purpose, direction, and ultimate conclusion. Is there any further query, my brother?
Do we have time for some more?
I am Quo, and we would entertain one final query, my brother.
Rami, do you have anything that you want to add?
I don't have any questions.
I do have one more, and would that be all? I was interested in the man Jesus of Nazareth, who often had the term Son of God given to him. Can you explain what they meant by Son of God? Was this to be taken literally? Or was this a reference to the Logos of Philo Judaeus of Alexandria, who often used that term for his Logos?
I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. The phrase, a son of God, or the phrase, the Christed One, are means of expressing the kind of consciousness available to those who have been able to open the green ray energy center in sufficient degree to feel and experience this creative force of love that has made all that there is. This quality of consciousness or attitude of beingness is then the goal or opportunity which is offered each third density entity as a means of passing from this illusion to the fourth density, where the study of this creative power of love is that which is the focus of all energy expenditures. Thus, the one known as Jesus was able to offer itself as a model or pattern by which entities could move their own consciousness to a larger view in which the acceptance of self and others as one being was far more easily facilitated. We are those of Kuo, and we would take this opportunity to thank once again those who have gathered in this circle of seeking this day and who have graciously offered us the opportunity to speak our words and to share our thoughts in those areas which are of interest to you. We are always most grateful for this opportunity to walk with you upon this journey which all make together. At this time, we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group, leaving each, as always, in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.
Thank you, Paul.
Ethel, Judy, Anne, Ophelia, Spider Rainbow, Scott, Poopy, John, the Kirtleys, the Beans, the Flaherty's, Harry. The cause of peace. And our fragile hearts.